Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Love. That's what we're talking about today. The love of God. Last week we talked about how this love is being poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're talking about, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 5, it says, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations does what? Produces perseverance. Perseverance produces what? Character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God is being poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You see, that's the goal of God, is to permeate every area of our life with the Holy Spirit. Our finances, our relationships, everything we do with the Holy Spirit. And that's the love of God. And so we looked at that with glory and tribulation. Remember, glory means to reveal what God originally intended. So what our lives, what God originated and intended our lives to be, comes through tribulations. Tribulations is what? Trouble. So the trouble in our lives comes to bring out what God originated and intended our lives to be. We can't do it on our own. We need struggles. We need things to get us to connect with God and to stay focused on Him. So, and then it says, perseverance. Tribulations produces perseverance. Perseverance is something we need to fulfill the plan and purpose of God in our life, because it produces character. The character is the love of God, ultimately. That's what it is. The character is the love of God. That's what perseverance produces. So we've got to be able to persevere. Persevere is not just patience. Perseverance can be years. So what does perseverance look like? Perseverance looks like, remember we talked about devotion, discipline, and duty. Devotion, we should love the Lord our God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's devotion. So remember, you will serve what you're devoted to. You will serve, love, and obey what you're devoted to. Whatever your God is, that's what you're devoted to. Whatever you think about the most, that's your God. Some people, it's sex. Internet sex and pornography is in the $1 trillion business. Trillion. With a T. Folks, somebody is devoted to something that's not healthy. When we're devoted to God, He is going to empower you to fulfill everything He's created you for. And it's going to take devotion. But it's going to take what? Discipline to do that. Remember, Proverbs 25:18, he who has no rule over his own spirit is like a city with broken down walls. So that meant there's other things can get in the city, because walls were for protection. That's why when you enter into a city, it says you're now entering into the city limits. In other words, there's limits on how you behave and conduct your life in this city. If not, you're subject to other authorities. And that's the same way it is in the spiritual realm. If you don't have some restraints in your life, then you're subject to other authorities. God wants to be the one to bring the restraints. Now, so that's what that's talking about. Discipline. And then duty. Duty is what? It's the service and function in the lives and well-being of others. So in other words, you are not here for you. You are here for other people. That's why you exist. That's why you need a vision. That's why you need direction in your life. Because it's all about other people. It's not all about you. If you're always depressed and whining and crying, you're focused on yourself. And your problems, your devotion. And your problems are God, and that's what you'll love, and that's what you'll serve, and that's what you'll obey. So you can't sit around and think about your problems all the time, because your problems can become your God. Or money can become your God. Lots of things. Your family can become your God. Your spouse can become your God. Your children can become your God. See, God wants to be that devotion. He wants you to be devoted to Him. And then He puts the pieces together. Am I making sense? Devotion, discipline, duty. The only way you'll fulfill your duty is if you have the right devotion to God and there's some discipline in your life to maintain. Folks, we need discipline to harness this flesh. Our flesh wants to have a party. Our flesh wants to sit on the couch and eat Krispy Kreme donuts and watch TV all day. We need some discipline in our life if we're going to be in service to other people. Now, I got a little demonstration of discipline for you today. Caitlin is going to, she's a graduating senior this year. Everybody look at Caitlin back here. She's going to demonstrate something. Now keep your mitts and everything to yourself up off the middle aisle here. Caitlin is going to demonstrate discipline to us. Caitlin, I'll just go ahead. That's discipline. You don't do that sitting on the couch eating Krispy Kreme donuts. Are you with me? That takes some strict discipline to accomplish that. But I'm here to tell you, that right there will help her accomplish everything God has called her to. That kind of discipline works out into your life. I'm not saying you all need to be able to do that. That's not what I'm saying. You need to be doing something to harness this flesh. Because this flesh wants to do what it wants to do. And the works of the flesh really bring a bunch of mess in your life. So we're going to look at that in a couple weeks. So we're going to stay on track today. Are you with me today? We're talking about the love of God now, okay? Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. Now, remember, we've been looking at the attributes of the love of God. An attribute is a tribute to. So an attribute is what it is. You see that? It's not what God has, it's what God is. So that's what we've been looking at, the attribute. Attribute. In 1 John 4:16, it says, God is love. So let me tell you something. God can't love you any more than He already does. And God can't love you any less because He's love. He is love. And it's perfected love. When you get a revelation of that, that will help you. When you understand that God is love. And this is what He's developing in me. You see that? And in you is this love. And it's the agape love. It's a supernatural love. It's a supernatural. Remember, it's the higher love. Remember, we have Eros. We have Eros is the sexual love. The self-gratifying love. And then there's the filial love. That's the mutual friendship and relationship love. And then there's the storge love. Family love. And that's how a mother loves her children and how you love people in your family. But then there's the agape love, and it's the highest. It's the supernatural. Remember, the word super is above supernatural. It's above natural. It's not natural to flow in the agape love of God. You have to make a choice to do this. Love is a choice. You don't fall in and out of love. See, Hollywood makes you think you fall in and out of love. Well, I wake up, I'm out of love. I just don't love them anymore. You know, I've loved them for 20 years and I just don't love them. You haven't loved them. Because love doesn't stop. You see that? You don't fall in and out of love. You stay there when you love somebody, right? And love is a choice. But now watch this. It's a command from God. He doesn't just ask it or request it or demand it. He commands it. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is how they will know that you are my disciples, by the way they love one another. Agape love. It's a command. It's not an option. It is a command from God. And that's what we got to understand. Now watch this. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13. And we're going to look at these attributes. Now, we left off in 1 Corinthians 13, 5. Remember, he says, he starts this chapter off, and he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become as sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Well, remember, the clanging cymbal was, in the Greek culture, it was the announcement of war. So in other words, when there was a war, they would take cymbals and crash them together. It's time for war. And Paul was using that word purposely, because the people and the leaders in the church were trying to use their gifts and everything in the church the way they wanted to, out of their own opinions. You see, you don't have opinion when it comes to doing what God has called you to and created you for. It's got to be from His Word. You see, they were coming up with their own ideas, their own opinions. And it was creating problems in the church and divisions and wars and strife and contentions. So the idea is, if you don't have love and you're always running your mouth, you're going to cause problems. He says you can give everything you have to the poor, feed the poor, all that, and be so gifted. But if it's not motivated by love, it means zero to Him. He wants everything we do to come out of this love. God is love. If we want to know God, we got to know and understand His love. Because God is love. And if we're going to understand Him, we got to understand His love. That's why we need to grow in it. Now, verse 5. Love does not behave rudely. Have you ever been in traffic and somebody pulls out in front of you and you just want to... Love doesn't do that. Well, you know, somebody comes to your house and you're rude to them. Love doesn't do that. Somebody comes over that you don't want to come over. And you get rude. Love doesn't do that. Now watch this. This word rude is the Greek word A-S-C-H-E-M-O-N-E-O. And this is what it means. To act in an unbecoming manner. It means to be tactless or thoughtless. It means to be inconsiderate, both in actions and words, and that tend to be rude and discourteous. Rude and discourteous. Love does not behave rudely or unseemly. The Holy Spirit is telling us explicitly that love is not rude or discourteous. It is not careless or thoughtless. It is not insensitive to others. Love is always sensitive to other people around them. Always. And that's this agape love. It's not rude. That's why when you're waiting in line, don't stand there and get in a big attitude because they're slow and sit there and start making remarks and getting rude while you're waiting in line. God's trying to say something to you. Say, what are you trying to say here, Lord? I've seen people in line at Kroger's or line at somewhere, and they start getting upset because they're not moving fast enough. That's not, we don't want to be rude there, right? Because people are watching and listening. Okay, now, if you see that you are falling short of this high level of love, continue to ask God, and He will impart the agape love. He will empower you with this love. But you got to ask Him. And you know what? You got to know, this being rude and stuff is really not of Him. And it's something, we need to work it in our families, where on our jobs, wherever we are. Now watch this. Now catch this. It says, love does not seek its own. Does not seek its own. Now look at this word. This word seek is the Greek word Z as in zebra, Z-E-T-E-O. This word means to seek or to crave. This word was also used to depict a person who is upset about not getting what he wanted. So upset that he would turn to the court system to sue or to demand what he was striving to obtain. Instead of taking no for an answer, this person is so intent and bent on getting his or her own way They will search, seek, and investigate, never giving up in their relentless pursuit to get what they want. They will twist the facts, look for loopholes, put words into other people's mouths, trying to keep and hold others accountable for promises they have never made. This is a form of manipulation, and that is what God is talking about here. Does not seek its own. It is a form of manipulation. Paul's point here is the agape love is not scheming or manipulating. This kind of behavior is dishonest and untruthful. Scheming and manipulating to get your own way is wrong. Love does not manipulate situations or scheme and devise methods that will twist situations to get its own way for its own advantage. Love is not selfish or self-centered. When a marriage is operating in the love of God and they're both in it, it's unselfish. But when one person starts to get selfish, it creates problems. When you love something, you invest in it. You invest your finances, your resources, your time. You invest in it, what you love. You will invest in. It's an investment. And it's a choice. Love is. I remember my son when I was raising my kids, you know. And I remember he would mow lawns and work, and he always saved his money. You know, we'd go places, and I'd say, well, why don't you use your money and get you something? Well, I'd rather have my money. You know, I didn't teach him this one. It was just in him. And so he always had money in his room and in his bank account. So we'd always borrow money off of him. Middle of the week, man, we'd run out. So we'd go get Freddie's room, and, you know, and he'd always say, did you write it down? And I'd get paid. First thing I'd walk in, you got my money? He wanted his money. I was kind of intrigued with that. That's the way he was. And then he graduated from college, and we were out running one day, and he starts talking about the gal he's going to marry, Sarah. He says, Dad, I'm going to marry Sarah. We're running in the woods, you know. I said, oh, well, you sure about this? You sure this is the one you want? And, you know, because I noticed he started spending him some money. You know what I mean? He was spending money, I mean, right and left. We was wondering, my goodness, look at this. And so, well, I'm running. I said, son, are you sure? He goes, Dad, I know. It's it. He goes, it's going to happen. He's telling me, you know. Now he's telling me. You know, I've said, you know, stay a virgin in all these years. And you know, he's disciplined himself. And he was a virgin when he got married. But he's telling me, this is it. I said, okay, well. He goes, well, I've already been to the jewelry store. I said, wow. He goes, yeah. He goes, I bought her a ring, you know, so-and-so. I said, oh, you did? How much did you pay for that? What? I'm running. I'm thinking, man, that's a whole lot more than I ever paid. Are you with me? I said, you're kidding me. And then I stopped. I said, no, he's in love. You see, he's in love. And that's the way it was. See, when you're in love, you invest in it. You do, you just invest it. You just, that's you love, right? And he even told me, he goes, it don't matter how much it costs. I've never heard that come out of his mouth. It don't matter how much it costs, Dad. I said, all right. But you see what I'm saying? That's what happens when you love. You invest. And that's the way we should be. We should be investing in the ones we love. It doesn't seek its own. Love is not provoked. This is the Greek word paroxsuno. And this is the word for provoked. And it's a compound word, and it's first part of it is para, and that means alongside. Remember, paraclete is the Holy Spirit. He comes alongside of us. And oxus means to poke, to prick, or to stick with a sharpened instrument. This portrays someone who comes alongside another and begins to poke, prick, and stick the person or victim, and they become provoked and respond in anger or violence, or they get aggressive from the provocation, from the provoking. We find this word P-A-R-O-X-S-U-N-O-S, in Acts 15, verse 39, the word sharp. It also means sharp. Now watch this. Luke records this conflict and this disagreement that transpired between Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark on the next journey, but Paul was against it because John Mark had already proven himself unfaithful on an earlier trip. So Paul was against it, and they began to argue, and they began to speak negative words to each other and about each other, and it created a major problem between them. Paul, the one who wrote 13 books of the New Testament, Paul and Barnabas came alongside each other in a close debate and began to poke, stick, and jab each other with their words. This provocation was so severe that it destroyed their friendship, their partnership, and their ministry at the time. In other words, the ministry they were doing stopped being effective at the time in that place because of this provoking and problem. Now, the word oxus also has another meaning in the Greek language. So watch this. O-X-S-U-S is also the meaning vinegar. It means vinegar, bitter. So in other words, the words that they were exchanging were bitter and sharp. These two men had served God together, and it indicates the words that they exchanged between Paul and Barnabas were sharp, severe, sour, and bitter. Folks, this is what we got to be aware of. Love doesn't do this. See, Paul's telling us in Corinthians, this was after the book of Acts, he's telling this from experience. He knew what the problems that this can cause, this provoking and this speaking negative towards each other and jabbing and piercing each other with words. And it's vinegar, it's sour, it's bitter. See, it comes to make you bitter. See, when you get into an argument, if a bitter word gets in you, it can create bitterness in you. And Hebrews 12 says, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness should spring up and cause trouble and cause many to be defiled. The word defiled means unholy. It says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. When you become bitter, you are now in a position to keep others from coming to Christ. Your life is now working to keep others out of the kingdom. Because it says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's why bitterness is so treacherous and dangerous. These sharp, bitter words towards each other, and when they're received and it gets in you, it will destroy you. That's why Paul said, take up the shield of faith that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. The fiery darts are words, words coming at you. The fiery darts were, they would take these darts and they would dip them in a tar solution that was poisonous. And they would fire these in combat and it would pierce the skin and poison would get into the blood and they would die a slow death. And that's what he says, take up the shield of faith that you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the evil. That's those negative, bitter words. Keep them away from you. You see, when you're in the love of God, you're in faith because faith works through love. And the shield of faith was, it was a shield that they would stretch an animal skin over and they would soak it in water and those fiery darts would come and they'd go out. They couldn't penetrate. They couldn't get to them. And that's the way it is when you're in the love of God. Those bitter words can't get in you and it can't have its effect in your life. That's in the agape love. But outside the agape love, those bitter words can get in you and begin to destroy your life. And that's what they come from. And sometimes they're coming from somebody who's right next to you, right in partnership with, right there. You got to be aware and walk in the agape love. And that is a protection from bitterness for you. Because you pass bitterness down to your children, your grandchildren, and all, and you affect, your bitterness affects everything. Now, when Paul says love is not provoked, he was speaking from experience. Next one, love thinks no evil. This word thinks is the Greek word logidzomai. This was an accounting term. And this word meant to count or to reckon. It meant to credit, to give to someone's account. That's what it meant. This could be or depicts a bookkeeper who meticulously keeps accurate financial records. But in this case, the bookkeeper was hurt and offended because thinks no evil. Now watch this. The bookkeeper was offended and began to keep detailed records of every wrong that was ever done to him. Like a bookkeeper has an entry for every debit and credit on the books, this person stores in their memory all the mistakes, faults, grievances, disappointments, failures, and wrongdoings that someone has made against them, rather than forgiving them and letting them go. You see? Because if you're in agape love, you'll always forgive them. And you'll always let it go. Betrayal, you'll be able to love them and let them go. If you've got this agape love flowing, it protects you. Unforgiveness gets in, it begins to destroy you. Not the people you haven't forgiven, you. And that's what we have to see. We have to understand this. Now watch this. The offended person has carefully maintained records. Records of each action done to him that he deemed as unjust or unfair. You see, love doesn't keep records of wrongdoings. Go with me quickly to Psalms 103. Who forgives what? All your iniquities. God forgives all your iniquities. Verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. You see, God doesn't keep any records against you. He doesn't keep any records against you. He can't love you anymore, and he can't love you any less. And he doesn't keep a record of anything. Verse 12 now. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. From the east to the west. There is no end to it. And that's what he's saying. That's the way God does you. And you know what? That's what he's saying here. Is this is the way he wants us to be towards people. And there's a protection in that. If you are constantly rehearsing and going over in your mind what someone has done to you, and keeping record of what the wrongs they have done to you, the agape love has stopped flowing through you. You cannot sit around and dwell on past unforgiveness in an unforgiving heart and be in a relationship with God. God does not keep records of your past forgiven sins. Once they are under the blood of Jesus, they are done. The power is in the blood. God separates them from you forever. If you have had a hard time releasing people from your past wrongs, it is a sign that you need agape love released into your life. If you keep rehearsing wrongs that have been done to you and keep recording them, it means you are not being perfected in the love of God. Why would you not want to be perfected in the love of God? Because that is where the power is. That is where your effectiveness is in bringing others into the kingdom. That's where your fulfillment is in the love of God. The kingdom of God is all about His love. Love is authority. Love is humble, humility. It's all about His love. And the more we understand that, the more we understand God. And here, if you're here today and you have unforgiveness in your heart, I wouldn't think about leaving these doors without dealing with it. Because that's potential bitterness starting to dwell in you. Deal with it. Love is a choice. Love never fails. Love keeps on loving.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
Radio Ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.